Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the At-Large Technology Task Force meeting on the 15th of December 2014. On the call today, we have Mari McKercher, Gordon Chilcott, Juan Manuel Rojas, Remy and Vicky, Devin Antaluxin, Glenn McKnight, and Judith Hellestein. We have apologies from Olivier Crépin-Leblanc and Fatima Carbonero, who resigned from his working group this week. From staff, we have myself, Natalie Peregrine, and Ariel Yang will be joining us shortly. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much. And over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Natalie. This is David Ann speaking. So on the agenda, we have an agenda, and on the agenda is, I think we're going to, but we're not, instead of doing the action items, we'll do a 2014 in review that Glenn will be speaking about. Glenn, you can take the floor on that.
Okay, great. Thank you, Deb. Everybody, the idea of this review is in part looking back on what our mandate has been and what we've achieved in the past year. So I'm going to lean a lot on Deb because he's the main person that has been, and I'll just ask a series of questions to Deb, if you don't mind, Deb. Deb, mm-hmm. Can I start with what has been our main mandate and mission as an organization working group?
Okay, thanks, Glenn. This is Dave Anand. Okay, so the Technology Task Force Working Group was set up as a result of recommendations coming out from the At-Large Improvements Project Final Report. This was approved in mid-2012. And there were two recommendations. The two recommendations regarding ALS relo ELAC structure to remain, and one under that recommendation, there was an item introduced to the ALS selected information dissemination, communication, and collaboration tools and provide training. And then under recommendation 7, choice of communication and collaborative tools, there was a review of communication and collaboration needs considered unmet by ALSs and relos globally. And also to review of technologies used by at-large and across ICANN that could fill some of those needs. And the 7.2, which is the explicit one, establishing the task force, the establishment of the task force that will review the appropriateness of available technology, train relos and at-large structures and new technologies, and possibly staff a help desk. So those were the... But there were probably a few more recommendations, but that's the key. Those were the key ones and rationale for the technology task force.
Okay.
And I posted a link on the chat.
So I'm going to ask Wolfine.
Sorry.
Great. Thank you so much, Deb. So now we know what our mandate has been, and the charter was set out to what we set out to do. Now, the second question to that, have we lived up to that in this year in review? Have we stayed on course on what our mandate has been? Have we deviated, or where did we actually exceed, or where did we have a shortfall? So, Deb, as the chair, you've been showing the leadership in this group throughout the past couple of years. So in your assessment, and I'd like to open it to the floor right after this, so I'll give you the opportunity first, Deb, to do a reality check on what our mandate was and what we actually achieved. Go ahead, Deb.
Okay. Thanks, Glenn. This is Dave. I would think that in many respects we have kept, we have met a lot of the rationale for the technology task force. I think some of the key achievements we achieved this year was and thanks to Ariel Lang, input from Ariel Lang from ICANN staff, we updated this and got the social media strategy approved. And this involved the creation of a social media working group to help curate content for Ariel to then post, and that's been active. And I think the social media has really taken off in terms of the number of Twitter followers and number of Facebook people who are following us on our Facebook page. So that's one key thing. The other thing was that in terms of the conferencing tools, we have also done some more evaluations. I think what we now need to do is to now wrap up the conferencing tools evaluation, and I see there's an agenda item later on in the agenda. But just to try to sum up, the rationale for evaluating conference tools, the reason for where it really began to start was at the time there was a potential for ICANN to switch to another conferencing solution, and this prompted as per our mandate, to say, well, if we're going to switch, then we need to switch to something that could work for us, not just switch for switching sake. And that's what started off the conferencing evaluations and so forth. We also have been looking at, I would say, also in terms of also for the social media strategy, in terms of the technology tools needed to implement that strategy. And there's been two things. One has been looking at group chat applications, which worked very well during the ATLAS Summit in London. So this was the use of the tool called Slack, which was a relatively new tool. And same things that we have not worked on, and I think have not been as effective, is the longer-term type of projects, which I think requires a more sustained effort. And that's one regarding the Confluence testing, the wiki reorganization, which is challenging because we want to try to document. In my thinking, we need to document it first before we just make changes. And that part aspect hasn't really taken up primarily because I've also have other life priorities happening this year. So, and this brings to the second concern, which is there's a core group within the technology task force that's active and attending meetings, but there's also quite a larger group that are not really attending the call. So I think we also need to revitalize those members that are not inactive and also, continue issuing the call for new members. Maybe I should stop there, Glenn, and, of course, open it up for other opinions.
Great. Yeah, okay, so let me just quickly summarize. Dev has done a great summary of the year in review. He talked about what social media tools we use, how we use them in London. He talked about the how we've used our social media strategy for Facebook and Twitter. We've looked at different conferencing tools because it was originally an idea to look at some other tools. I think Christopher Gift was one of the advocates for us to look at some alternative tools. So I think what Dev is saying, I think we've exhausted a lot of this, but we need the community, and I know we don't have a lot of people on the call now, but, guys, we need your feedback. We want you to give us feedback so that we can move in 2015 in a direction so each of our calls are valuable. It's education, and we want to embrace the rest of the community. As we see, we only have a few people on the call today. So can we turn to Gordon, Juan, Judith, and Murray to provide a comment? So, guys, can I start with, maybe I'll go down the list. Gordon, can you give some feedback and your observations?
Thanks, Glenn. Gordon Chilcott, for the record. I was following carefully what Dev had to say earlier on. There's another item in there, and it's not quite as tangible as the others, but it's important nonetheless. One of the things we did, especially during our looks at conferencing tools, was listen to the rest of the community. That actually is where this whole question of accessibility began to come up. And, of course, with Dev's connections to his RALO, the question of translation came up. The whole question of conferencing tools got a little wider, I think, and in part because of us, because we were actually able to come out and say, yeah, we do have tools here for that purpose, and we've tried them out. So that's an important item. I got comments on a couple of other things, too, but I think I'll hold those for right now, and I'll let you go on to the next person, Glenn.
Thank you. I'd like to point out that Gordon has been an incredible resource as a Linux user. He's been great at, when we looked at these conferencing tools, to give us feedback on whether the tools work on a Linux box or not. So again, I'd like to acknowledge Gordon's contribution as well. Thank you. Let me turn to Juan. Juan, can you contribute to this conversation?
The conference tools are really working well for me in Linux, and when I was trying to do it, I believe that that some conference tools are better than other ones. The last one and the only webcam maybe is not useful, and of course the social media. The social media strategy must be thinking in not only spread information about ICANN meeting, just about what I can do, what we do as civil society working in ICANN, and how many people can join to one ALS or geographical regions or .glgbt, for example, or new GTLD programs or something like that. I don't know. I have no more issues to talk right now.
Great. Thank you so much, Juan. Let me turn to Judith. Judith, do you have a brief comment?
Hi. This is Judith Helsing for the record. I like the ideas of testing, but I think I agree that the testing is now done, and I think we should move testing on plugins and how they work on accessibility. I think that's our main issue right now, is to make sure that any conferencing tools and any social media tools that we're testing are accessible. And we also, Glenn and I, have been trying to work on getting funding for captioning of both videos and Adobe meetings. And so that's sort of what we've been working on. Glenn, do you want to add anything?
Like Judith has said, in fact, Judith, you're on the agenda more detail on captioning at the later in the agenda, so I'll hold my comments to the last section of our conference call today, if you don't mind. Okay, let me turn to Murray. Murray, do you have a comment in the year in review?
Yes, it's Murray Mukherjee speaking for the record. I'm just reviewing overall, I think we've made some progress in the year, and there are lists up on the wiki and things to be reviewed, so that's going well. It's always good to go back to that original description of what we're supposed to be looking at. The one thing that kind of jumped out at me was the training part. I'm not sure about a staff help desk, but that's a big deal. But some sort of ability to train RALOs and ALSs on the technology. So I guess we have to pick one first. And simply, I mean, Adobe Connect is very complicated and that works okay. My biggest comment is that I find it's very useful to do Adobe Connect for all the visual stuff and to have a phone call for all the audio stuff. It just kind of makes it a little bit easier. But other than that, I thought it was done well. That's my two cents.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Murray. By the way, everybody, from a technology point of view, Murray organized the hub at MakeWorks for the last the LA event. So if you're interested, in fact, Gordon was there too, sorry. Gordon and Murray were involved with the Toronto hub of the last ICANN meeting in LA, broadcasting out of Toronto. We have two more people. We have Remy, and then we have Barant. Remy, can you give a comment? I'm not getting any audio from Remy. One more chance. Remy? Okay. Barant, are you online? Okay, Remy and Barant, one more time. Okay. All right, I'm not getting either of them. If they want to type their comments in the chat box, it'd be appreciated. So due to time, I'm passing it back to Deb on the agenda.
Okay, thanks, Glenn. This is Dave also. Just a quick follow-up. I just posted, and for some reason the chat part isn't working for me properly, but I'm sure that what I'm typing is getting through. But I just posted a link to the Technology Task Force reports for the monthly reports just to give a summary, especially for any newcomers as to what we've been doing for the past, for this year. And I also want to point out that a lot of the stuff has been, I would say, also providing assistance when they have technology issues to sort out. The social media working group, for example, had a technology issue as to how to get content to Ariel in a close to real time manner, and so we solved that issue. We looked at also at some technology tools that could help with metrics in the metrics working group, for example, and there was a presentation done at the LA meeting, and I think also at the London meeting as well. I can't remember which one now, but. And I'm seeing where we're seeing other needs, for example, the need to track talent outreach events. So there's possibly an input there for tech from what's the technology solution that will best enable group collaboration to update this calendar so it can be more, more beneficial for at large. So there's also those aspects of it. So I just want to end off on that point there.
Great.
Okay, great. All right, so let's move ahead to the next agenda item, the slideshow on the various conference tools. Okay, last week we had a conferencing review of two conference solutions. One is AnyMeeting, and one is Jitsi Meet. AnyMeeting had some favorable reviews, and that albeit with some bugs. It had some of the key features that we would like in our conferencing solution, private public chat, the ability to raise lower hands to gain the presenter's attention, so maintain a speaker queue and so forth. What didn't work as well was that it didn't really work on Linux properly. Actually, it probably did not work at all on Linux. And there were problems with using the Mac when we're trying to view the presentations. And that one of the issues also discovered during the testing of AnyMeeting was that presentations, while they could be shown on screen, they couldn't be zoomed in or adjusted in size by the attendees. So that was also seen as a disadvantage. Jitsi Meet, that was a... It's not really a full-fledged conferencing solution, but for quick ad hoc conferencing for users of Google Chrome, it works very well in Google Chrome and Opera. It does not work for Windows. It did not work for Mac users, and I don't think it worked for Linux users either. Gordon could probably correct me on that. So now that we have done those conferencing solutions, I've created the pages for Jitsi Meet. And I'll just quickly post the links there. And for the AnyMeeting. And I'm just trying to find the AnyMeeting link. But right now it's blank, so we still have to really fill out the content from that from our review of those two tools. Now what I was suggesting now, and I think Judith has also alluded to this, is that we could probably wrap up the review of conferencing tools, because the reason why the conferencing tools really started, again, as I mentioned earlier, was that there was an impetus sometime last year that Adobe Connect would be simply replaced. Okay? And that's what started the testing of all these conferencing solutions. Since then, Adobe Connect has improved from the version 8, I think, that was in use at the time, with version 9. There are much more polished mobile apps and mobile support for Android and iOS. ICANN itself does not seem to be going to switch away from Adobe Connect anytime soon. So I think what we can do is, and I think we could probably present this for our Singapore meeting, is to now just present a summary review of these conferencing solutions, because I know a lot of requests from at-large structures is that they are looking for their full conferencing solutions, and they find Skype not sufficient, and so perhaps we could also look as to give some recommendations or some highlights as to which conferencing solutions could work for them. Okay, so I think I'll stop there, and then any thoughts on that? I see Murray has his hand reached. Yep, go ahead, Murray.
Yes, I'm just thinking that ICANN is centered around Adobe Connect as a platform for communication, and I know it's challenging for many to use it, but I think it's just a matter of a lot of training. It's taken me 2 years to kind of get comfortable with it. Seems like a lot of time. If ICANN is using it, it does seem like a relatively good platform. My only concern would be, as you said, the mobile support is now better than it was, and I'm not sure whether it's very bandwidth-intensive products, which would be an issue in a lot of other parts of the world, and that would be my only concern. Is it a better one for our own groups, or should we have our own set of at-large interactive stuff? But I don't think we're going to see Adobe Connect go away anytime soon. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Murray. I should mention some aspects also. We didn't really ignore Adobe Connect in our review of conferencing tools. We reviewed several plugins for Adobe Connect, and I posted a link to the page address I worked on to document that. We looked at three plugins so far. Two were a timer and a survey maker, to be able to do polls, and so we had a testing call for that. Another tool that was also tested was the Caption First plugin in September, and I think Judith and Glenn were key architects of that testing and the write-up of that. So there's probably two other plugins that we need to look at. That one is the social media plugin. This could be a social stream pod, I should say. And it's a pod that will bring Twitter and Instagram into the webinars and participate in social interactively directly from within Adobe Connect. This could be useful especially for the capacity-building webinars, not just for working group sessions. And there's also something that is of interest for metrics, and that is something called the Engagement Index. This is built into Adobe Connect 9. And what it is an engagement tracking tool which generates an engagement index for participants during and after and for review after the call. It can be graphed, for example. So you could look at the engagement index and see which parts were most engaging and parts that were less engaging. So, and I mean, it seems to be a very interesting thing, because what it does, it tracks the participants' engagement during the call, whether they're typing messages in the chat, whether they're zooming into the pod to look at the documents, triggering status messages. There's a white paper there that goes into full detail about that. So I think those two plugins, we probably should try to review those in the future calls. So, sorry about that. I think I'm talking quite a bit there. And let's see. I'm sorry, Glenn, your hand is raised. I have to admit, I'm not seeing you in the conference room.
Hi, Glenn, for the record, I am not in the conference room because the Adobe decided to not allow me to type. Every time I was trying to type, it wouldn't let me go in, so I had to reboot it, the browser, and now I'm waiting for staff to allow me to back into the room. So I'm only on Digo. I was on voice and also chat in the Adobe room, but I'm not in the Adobe room yet. If Natalie can hear my request,
Glenn, this is Natalie. I've been staring at the Adobe connector, but there's been no pop-up request. So if you could just maybe change browser, because this happens sometimes if you try to enter in a different browser. I have had no pop-up at all requesting your entry.
Yeah, what I have is the screen. This is a private meeting. Your request to enter has been sent to the host. So that's where I'm sitting right now.
The entry requirements of the room haven't changed since the beginning of the call. So it's simply that there's normally just changing browser, going onto Firefox if you're not already on it, will help unlock it all. Because for the rest, for the visitors in here, nothing has changed at all.
Okay. All right. So let me. I'll try to log back in again. But in the meantime, Dev, I wanted to address the issue that you brought about the last tool. Now, is that metrics tool, that accountability tool, is that something that the other working groups within ICANN is asking us to do as a technical task force, or is that something you found independently? I'm just wondering, Dev, can you tell us how this tool, if at all, the other groups want us to test, or are we providing our feedback to the Metrics and Accountability Committee? So can you comment on that?
Glenn, this is Natalie. Dev's just exited the AC room, waiting for him to come back in, so I think you might have missed your question. Finally, I've got his request. Hold on. Dev, can you hear us? Hello, Dev, this is Natalie. Can you hear us?
Dev can hear us.
Okay. Are you hearing me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, sorry. I was just connecting my microphone back to the Adobe Connect session. Sorry about that. I was also getting some Adobe Connect issues there, so I also disconnected and reconnected through Firefox rather than Chrome. Sorry about that. So I may have missed most of what Glenn said about coming back into Adobe, but what did you say? Were you going to say anything regarding the conference plugins or conference testing?
Yeah, my question to you directly, Dev, is that since you brought up that tool for measuring participation, is this requested by the Accountability and Metrics Working Group, or are we sort of suggesting back to those groups that here is a tool, are we going to be testing this? Like, I'm a little confused on this plugin, whether or not it's something we've been asked to do or it's something that you've suggested. Can you clarify, please?
This is Dave. I think that this is something I discovered on my own, and I posted to the Metrics Working Group. And so we didn't really do any deep evaluations of it, but I think the indicator from the members was that this is a very interesting tool and it should be tested. So it was in that sphere that we could probably have a sort of a joint meeting call. Similarly for how we did the caption first with the accessibility working group. So that's where the that plugin came in. The social media pod, again, one of the things we're looking at, it's not some, well, also for social media, but working group, but it was more, I think, for thinking from the trying to see how to engage people, especially during the capacity building webinars. You know, so that's, I'm thinking that, you know, if you, that this could be done in coordination with the social media working group, for example. And this comes back to the how the technology task force, I think, assists other working groups with technology issues with their with those other working groups seeking to, well, seek on, that are working on various issues related for at large. So.
Okay, so hi, Dev, it's Glenn. Just to follow up as an action item, are you suggesting for 2015 we do a joint call with the Accountability and Metrics Group to test this tool?
I would say yes. This is Dave, yes.
Okay,
so, yes.
Great.
So we should continue to do plug-in testing. Because I should also mention that, well, just for those who weren't on those previous calls, a big issue regarding Adobe Connect plugins is that because they are Flash based, they would only work on a desktop machine with Adobe Flash. It would not work at all on mobile apps or tablet apps. So that was probably one key disadvantage for looking at any other extensions. These are more the two plugins I mentioned, the engagement tool that's built into Adobe Connect and the social media pod. Those are, I think, I could be wrong, primarily geared for the host to be able to control. And I believe since the social media pod is from Adobe itself, it may work in the mobile apps. So that's it.
Okay. Everybody went real quiet. Anybody other, any questions back to Dev on the plugins?
No, it's Murray speaking for the record. I just had threw it on the chat and suggested that maybe Adobe join us at one point and give a bit of a pitch as to how their service works, and we could pitch back saying that there were any particular issues that we had with it. Should they be happy to do that? Thanks.
Okay. Just to respond, Murray, this is Dave. Well, I think that's possible, but I think also, you know, ICANN's IT staff have also been very involved with Adobe Connect testing, because they've been also been aware of issues related to Adobe Connect. You know, so we've also been providing input, thanks to Gordon, regarding Adobe Connect on Linux, which has been problematic at times, and also in terms of looking at different plugins that could be used. So I would say Murray, I think yes, I suppose we could, because I think also IT staff has also compiled several tutorials for Adobe Connect. And I should also mention we also did a one-pager for Adobe Connect because we also realized that Adobe Connect is challenging for persons and so forth. So that pager has been put up. I'll try to find a link to that on the wiki. Let me just do that. Here it is. Okay. But just one more thing before just to step away from the plugins a bit and go back to the conferencing tools as a whole. I think we should do is I'll open up a Google presentation shareable document, and I think we could start to document, these are some of the solutions we've looked at, and here's some highlighted ones we think would work well for at-large structures. Okay? So I think that will be the action item for me to actually create that presentation link to start the ball rolling on that. Okay, sorry, I see Judith and Glenn have a hand raised. Judith?
Hi, yes, this is Judith Hallison for the record. There's been a lot of talk on the chat and on everything about the Adobe Connecting Bandwidth Intensive. And as I mentioned on the chat, and I wanted to get it on the call, is that one of the other benefits of the captioning, besides for the visually impaired, it actually gives everyone we can get a separate text-only HTML page.
Correct.
Where the text is just displayed, and that is an excellent thing, not only for the people in the ICANN area, members who have bandwidth challenges, but also it's good for people who have language challenges because then they can actually translate those.
Yep.
So there's many different benefits that captioning has, and it meets all the requirements. So it's not only a bandwidth; it's not only for visually or hearing impaired. So I wanted to get that in.
Thanks, Judith. Yes, indeed. I think I was impressed by that when the demo took place in September, that that page could be accessible separately, and that it could be machine translated. Machine language translated for persons who
right.
don't speak English. So.
And then also, Baron commented that something that at the meeting, the ICANN meetings, some groups are not translated. When we have Adobe Connect for different group calls, at the meetings, different meetings are not translated. And if we had captioning on those ones, too, then that would solve those problems of the people who actually could not be at the meetings who are connecting through Adobe Connect through there. So that's another. And I think that was Baron's question. I know she can't speak because of the background noise, but I think that was her question there.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Sir Judith. This is Dave. I mean, I'm now seeing all the chat messages now that I've re-logged in. Glenn?
Yes, due to time and all, I think what we did is we started to dive into the captioning session that we did back in September. So if I can carry on with that discussion, there's two elements. We did a demonstration of the Adobe Pod and the Captions First Pod. We had the staff from Pat Graves, I believe, and her staff person from Captions First. These are the same people that do the captioning at ITU. The audio is available. I'm sorry, I don't have the link immediately of the session we did in September, but I think the session was a good example where we reached out to another working group, the accessibility working group, to participate as well. I was absolutely blown away when I saw it and I saw the translation capability. I think it was 23 or 26 languages. I saw such great opportunity with the tool, and Judith could comment further on that, and then I'll talk about the captioning of the video. So, Judith, can you do a quick summary on the captions first?
Sure. Yeah, so as Glenn said, we tested two pods, the Adobe Connect pod, which is a plugin, and the Caption First pod, and everyone on the call, we had people from, we had Josh from ICANN IT, and everyone on the call preferred the Caption First pod, and that also we noticed, besides the different issues for being better for visually impaired, also being better for bandwidth intensive, And the ability to do machine translation was also very impressive. Of course, we all know that machine translation is a lot like Google Translate, and it's not great, but it gives people a gist of it. And if their English is bad, or they can actually then, type it in whatever language they want. And then what now we're trying to work on is trying to, we're going to have to, from what I understand from staff and from working with Laura from ICANN is that we have to put in a budget request to get money to pay, to continually pay for the service. And it's not that expensive, but if we want to do it on a more of a full-time basis. Of course, we could also possibly test it out for one or two working group sessions and do a per that, and we probably could, I don't know about the funding, but that probably could be easier to get than a budget request, but I think that was... When Dev put his link to our recommendation 11, that's where the notes were. So if you can look on there, there's also a link to the call there. Glenn, do you want to go on for the captions versus captions?
Yes, I do. Thank you so much. You have to own the video in order to do a conversion. If anyone has ever turned on the captioning on YouTube, you'll notice that they're not accurate, number one, and number two, they're actually quite slanderous. So, you know, from a legal point of view, like some of the wording can be completely wrong. In fact, 90% of it is wrong. What this guy has done from Australia, and I gave you the link to the gentleman who created it as an open source tool, he created the concept called Craptions to Captions. And it's a very convenient tool. I try to do it with other people's videos, and you can't do it. You must own the video. So YouTube, I've noticed tons of videos that ICANN has been doing. They are legally responsible to caption. And the fact that they allow the YouTube videos to have YouTube have the CC captioning, it is slanderous. So I would strongly recommend that ICANN, if it's going to continue to do short videos of our community, to make the extra effort, since they own the videos, to do captioning. And it's no cost. It just requires the little extra effort to make it, and I think it's only fair. Yes.
This is Dave. Okay, just to say that, Glenn, can you post the link to that captions to captions type of service, or I should say software?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank
so
you.
This is okay. Thanks, thanks, Glenn and Judith for the summary of captioning. Let me ask a question, though. Regarding the captions, are you suggesting that we look at for all our at-large videos to use this tool to provide captions? Provide accurate captions for those videos?
I think if you look at policies of different organizations, they realize their legal obligation, and they also want to reach out to the wide community. That, yes, I would say the short videos especially should all be captioned. In fact, I created a slideshow to demonstrate this tool, so perhaps on our next call I'll do a walkthrough with my slideshow on how I actually did use this tool for our next call.
Okay. Second question on this. This is Dave again. How long does it take to actually do? Because I guess in my mind, not having overly analyzed the captions, the caption service, does it take for a 5-minute video, it will take two times the amount of time to do the captions? What, four times? Is there an idea of how long it would take to take a 5-minute video?
I provided in my slideshow, I didn't provide the timelines, but I assure you the short video I did as a demonstration, I did a short video on Jean-Jacques Subrenant on internet governance,
yes.
And it really only took me 10 minutes, and that's from start to finish. It's very quick, it's easy to use, and what it does is each line comes up, you edit and you save it, and you can review, you can back forward or go forward. It has hotkeys. It's the nicest tool I've seen. I've looked at different tools, and to do captioning is a pain. Now, after you've completed the edits, then you upload the file, and it basically replaces the CC captioning in YouTube with your new file. So it's timed right, and it works quite well. I would strongly recommend it. It's fast, it's no cost, and there's no reason not to do it.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Glenn. This is Dave again. It does sound very interesting. So I think that indeed that probably perhaps we, in a future call, you can go through your slideshow showing how this works for a future technology task force call. And maybe, in conjunction with the accessibility working group, similar to how we did the captions first call in September. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, great. Let's move ahead to our agenda because we have time is ticking on this. Recommendations for the technology task force topics in 2015. I think what we do have to do is to, of course, start formally writing up answers for all of our technology task force items. In particular, recommendation 26, which deals with the policy management process system. This, I have to say, I have not really started looking at this in detail. So I'm going to, again, open up a Google Doc, and I'll invite members to really help move this the documenting of recommendation 26, but also to document what's been done for all the other recommendations, because I think I've done quite a bit for the other recommendations. And I guess this brings me a question perhaps staff needs staff needs to answer. My question to staff, is there a consolidated area on the wiki for all of the Atlas II recommendations where all the reporting is done? Or has the, and I guess I don't know if Natalie or Ariel will be able to answer this.
Hi Dave, this is Ariel speaking. Just to answer your question about Atlas II recommendations, I believe we have a consolidated space on the wiki for all the recommendations and also their status update too, which we created the grid using the colors to indicate the status.
Right. Okay.
Can you paste that link on the chat?
Yes, thanks for the record. This is Dave. Yes, thanks, Ariel. Because I wasn't too sure where this consolidated view for all the Atlas II recommendations are. So I think what we want to do is update that main page directly rather than create separate sub-pages unless as needed. Because I was noticing that there's a potential for like so many sub-pages being created by the various working groups. So I thought we should really look to update the main index only. So thanks for posting the link, Ariel. But I think for recommendation 26, since it's a much more broader language, and I'll try to find the text for recommendation 26 as part of the Atlas II recommendations for Renemy. I think that's all. Anybody wants to raise any other thoughts or comments about the Atlas II recommendations? Going once, going twice. Okay. All right. Excellent. Thanks. So I think what we also need to do then is look at the... just to record the action item, Google Doc to be created regarding recommendation 26. so that we can work on this on documenting this recommendation in more detail. And I think we also need to really have some sort of documentation in hand to present at the Singapore meeting. So, and of course, that's coming up in February. So we really do need to have some documentation on this issue as to what we are thinking would be the features of such a policy management process system and the problems such a system will be alleviating. So, okay. And of course, looking to update the other Atlas II recommendations on the consolidated link that Ariel has provided. Okay, so we can now track our progress on that accordingly. Okay? All right, thanks. Okay. I think what I did, I unfortunately skipped one of the agenda items, and that, my apologies. It was the agenda item on the Confluence Wiki. One of the things on the Confluence Wiki, there's been an update to the Confluence Wiki, to a later version. And one of the features of this later version is that there's a new feature in Confluence that could help with tackling a longstanding action item regarding the tracking of tracking a consolidated view of action items. I've attempted to try to do this with the older versions of Confluence, and I stopped when I saw this new feature in Confluence for action items. Ariel has actually taken the lead on it because she's been working with the IT staff as to when the upgrade was available, so she did some testing. Ariel, you want to provide a summary of this action item to track consolidated, to have a consolidated view of action items across across the ALAC and all at-large working groups.
Yes, thanks, Dave. This is Eric. I'm going to share my screen very quickly just to show you guys what the updates are. Can you see my screen?
Yep.
Yes, we can.
Okay,
thanks.
Great.
Go ahead.
So the first update is after the Confluence upgrade, now everybody have a consolidated space to see your personal action item. And the way to see it is that you click on your logo, your icon in the upper right corner, and then there's a drop-down menu and there's a task. And you click on that, and now it will take you to this space that has all the action items assigned to you. Also, you can see the complete ones and incomplete ones, so you can take a look at different, based on your setting, you can see different type of action items. And that's the first update. And the second update is now for each action item, you can assign due date. And the way to do it, I can demonstrate very quickly. So for example, I'm on an action item page for ALT call, and if I want to give a due date for an action item, I just quickly type 2/, and then there will be a calendar pop up, and then you can assign date for that. And then when you see your action item, if the due date is 1 week from now, the color will be orange, just to show you the deadline is approaching. And then if the action item is still incomplete, it will be red. So just to give you a visual reminder for that action item. So to have a deadline for action item is the second update. Okay, so then the third update is now we can, we have a new macro. It's called task report. So means you can aggregate action items across the community wiki and display it on a wiki page. And now you have different ways to display all those action items. So, for example, this is a testing page I created, and all the action items here, they are aggregated from pages labeled as ALAC call and ALT call. So basically, I selected a few pages, and give them a label here. I will show you. So this is the place I have the label. If you can see, it's in the bottom right corner. And then once I identify that label and then I put that setting in the macro, this page will display all the action items from pages with that label. So that's the first type of setting. And then the second type of setting is based on assignees. So I can also set, oh, I want to display action items assigned to Dave, Ariel, Olivier, Alan. And this page will be able to show that too. So this is another type of setting. And then also we can display action items based on which wiki space it is placed. So this page displays all the action items from the ALAC Executive Committee space. So so you can trace back all the way to even before 2014, action items can be displayed here. And then to view that, you can click on due date, and you can click on assignee just to help you narrow down and then quickly find yours. So these are some updates. Is there any questions at this point?
Okay, great. Okay, thanks, Ariel. Are you still speaking? Or? Because you're suddenly not hearing you.
Yeah,
okay, now we can hear you.
I was just asking whether anybody has questions.
Okay, thanks, Ariel. Thanks for the presentation, and I must say that it really does look so much better than with this new version of Confluence for the action items. There was a task list in the Confluence, but it was not very easily. We couldn't really combine those task lists into one page, and I did try to do that on the tech. As you could see the link on the Technology Task Force workspace, where it didn't really work because the problem was is that when it was updated on one of the sub pages, the main page didn't show it, and it just proved to be totally unreliable. I guess a question for me. I see Judith has a hand raised. So Judith, yeah, go ahead.
Yes, it's Judith Pelzin for the record. Question is, you would tag people and then get the, and they would be reminders. Would they get email reminders as well, or how does that work? Like if you're tagging them with a date and saying this thing needs to be done by December 16th, would they get an email reminding them of the coming date, or how would that work?
Thanks, Judith. This is Sarah speaking. Regarding reminders, can you still see my screen? Just checking.
Yes, we are. Okay.
Okay, so regarding reminders, currently this macro for the functionality in Confluence cannot send you automatic reminders for your action item.
That's right.
But you, when action item has been created and assigned to you, you will get a notification. And if I make any revision or anybody make revision on the action item, you will get a notification too. So that's the extent for notifying assignees. But the good thing is if we have due dates for action items, we can see the color change for the due dates. And if, for example, for this page, these are the dates that already passed, and then they turn into red, so we know all those action items haven't been completed. And then if they're orange, means they're close to the deadline, so we can, the assignees will be able to see that visually very quickly. So that's the good thing about that. But for automatic reminders, it's not a capability at this moment.
That's right. And thanks, Ari. This is Dave. And indeed, that's the thing. So you really have to be. So just to follow up on what Ari said, Judith, you have to be logged in order to see your action items assigned to you. And if you go to your profile, first of all, when you log in, And when you log into Confluence on the upper right page, you would see your notifications or your inbox or your task. And it will then see, you know, updates. You've been assigned a task on this working group or whatever, and it tells you how many days ago that task was. And then you can go into your profile and see the task yourself and see which ones are completed or incomplete with the new functionality of the new action item tracking ability for the new Confluence version. So, okay. Any other questions or comments? This is Dave again. I'm seeing no other further questions or comments. I guess one observation then, Ariel. I think it's what it then seems to be is, I see Remy has raised a hand. Remy, please go ahead. You may be muted, Remy. If you're on the Diego Bridge, you know, press *7 to unmute. Still not hearing you, Remy.
Is it okay now?
We can hear you. Remy, please go ahead.
Yeah. My question for Ariel, first of all, let me commend them. And I think what they are trying to do is commendable. But at the same time, it's a little bit complicated for everybody to just absorb it like that. One other thing I would like to ask is, when these tasks are signed, can you get the alert on your email?
Hi, Remy. This is Ariel speaking. Yes.
Hello, Ariel.
Yes. Can you hear me? This is Ariel.
I can hear you.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. Yes, when an action item is assigned to you, you will get an email from Confluence. So it's like a notification. Maybe I can show you an example how it looks like. I'll just pull out some of the Confluence.
Like Google notification, right?
Not really like a Google notification. So this, if you can see my email, this one is a typical notification of the action item. So it will be generated by Confluence, and then you would see, Ariel, I am the signer. Mm-hmm. Action item, and then this is the subject line about your task, and then you will see a screenshot of your task here. So that's a typical notification from Confluence, and then it's an email from Confluence. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Okay. Thanks, Remy. This is Dave again. Glenn?
I just wanted to it's Glenn for the record. I'm more than happy to stay for till the bottom of the hour, 11:30, to cover all the topics. But I know that some people had to leave at 11 o'clock, but I just wanted to ask Deb, is it okay we stay to 11:30?
This is Dave. Well, let's try to see if we can keep it to like 11:20, past 11 then, say next 15 minutes. But I don't want to take it too much longer because I'm sure staff also has other things to do as well. And there are other calls happening in the next hour and a half. So, all right, is that okay?
Okay.
Glenn? All right, good. Remy, your hand is, I'm not sure if your hand is still raised or... Do you have a follow-up comment or question, or is that an old hand?
Is that an old hand, Dave?
Oh, okay. Thank you. All right.
Hello, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Remy. This is Dave again. Thanks, Ariel, again for that presentation. And again, it's good to see this functionality being in the, embedded in Confluence, we could take advantage of it. And speaking from personal testing and frustration, it was very testing to try to figure out a way to do it under the old older Confluence versions. So this is good. Okay, so the next thing on the agenda is the update under the Aquilo mailing list translation testing. So what I've done is I've tried to put a link to the post. Very quickly. So what has been happening recently is that Lakwalu, and what I've also done now for on this page, I was also documented the history of this issue. This is dating back from 2000. The issues regarding Lakwalu translation has been going on since 2008. Let's put it, and it's so it's a very long-standing, frustrating issue for all the members on Lakwalu involved, and I think for staff as well, having to deal with the translations on the mailing list. So I provided a history of the issues of what happened for the Lakwalu list up to what's happening now. And on the page also was that we have I've also set up a new table to highlight the testing of the new translation tool. So what's happening now is that it's myself and a few other persons on that who are testing this page, and I've been more focused as to look at the technical issues regarding the translation. I would say it's improved from the old system, but there's still quite a lot of kinks to be ironed out. And I've posted a few links to some of the issues I've identified so far, and one that's been fixed. So I just thought I want to bring everybody up to date on that. I was intending to perhaps show some of the emails going through at court, but I'll probably leave that for another call. All right. So with that, I think I was. Any other questions about getting the update on the Lakwalu mailing list translation issues? Okay. All right. Great. So Glenn, I think I'll turn the floor back to you now. For your agenda item topic, which is the last one.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Glenn for the transcript records. The item that I wanted to ask the group, for those who still are in the call, is I needed suggested topics for next year. We started the discussion today about the agenda items, our mission, what we've accomplished, and we also had an opportunity to reset our priorities. So this is an opportunity for the community to suggest topics, and I really think the idea of us reaching out to other working groups for them to participate, and also I think we have an issue. We have a lot more members than are on this call, so we also need some kind of marketing to those people to get involved with our calls. So this is an opportunity to open to the floor for people to give us some suggestions, Judith, myself, and Dev. And so we'd like to book each monthly call with a particular topic that's of interest to you. So I turn it to the group. We only have a couple of minutes, so any suggestions? Mm-hmm. Okay, Dev.
Well, this is Dave. All right, I could say a few. I can make a suggestion. Can we perhaps look to draft a text email to contact those persons that have not been active in the technology task force, and perhaps just as I say, hey, just introduce ourselves, so to speak, because they may have been away from the list from the group too long, and to say, well, here's what we're working on. What topics are you interested in? So let's draft the text of the email to send to persons, and we can give them our Skype ID, so they can instant message, and perhaps we can have a VoIP call.
Okay. Thanks, Dev. We'll work out the logistics of the email, and as Judith said, we can do a short survey. So we can do a free Survey Monkey, up to 10 questions in a Survey Monkey. So why don't we do that?
Okay, that could also work. Okay, great. I see Gordon's hand is raised, though. Gordon? Sorry, Glenn.
Dev, thank you. It's Gordon Schulkart calling. listen. I can account for at least one of those supposedly inactive members now. I'm speaking to him periodically, as is typical for this time of day because of his contract. Bill is walking in and out of meetings. He just left me a little while ago, and I'm on a chat link with him as this is going on. So he's sort of active, and we get together and talk about what happened at these meetings. So I'd say he's kind of semi-active. The other item I'd like to bring up is, and I mentioned this before, your survey of 2010. I'd like to revisit the results of that, and maybe we should might want to consider doing something like that again. I don't know about in 2015, but the year after. Add that to me.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Gordon. Well, I think, yes, I think update to that survey is needed because, you know, the survey was done in 2010, and, of course, so many things have changed since then. So I don't think this is something that the Technology Task Force can do on its own. We really do need the support and the approval of the ALAC to really make that happen, I think. To really make that happen, to have that kind of survey, and again a survey group to analyze those results and so forth. But I think yes, Gordon, I do agree with you. I think a new survey, perhaps one that is not so extensive, maybe we need to, you know, just target. I suppose one way would be to like not only target the technology issues per se, but also the other aspects regarding engagement, capacity building, and so forth. But that's something that I'm just seeing at the top of my head. But so we need to think about it some more, I think, as to how that survey could be structured. And we can do that on another call. Yep. Sorry, Glenn?
Yeah, Glenn, for the record. I was looking at that survey this morning, actually, before this call, and a lot of things have changed. Especially with the Google Hangouts, also, you know, the ability with live streaming, the new live streaming capability with Google as well, and just live streaming as a whole. But there's so many things that have changed since the survey was done. There's big holes that I saw in some of the communication tools. And so it's probably worth going back and looking at that survey, tweaking it, making it updated, and sending it on. We all know the results of the surveys are very poor, but I think Gordon has made a good point.
Yep. And this is Dave. Just also, I think that at that time the survey was done using BigPulse, and it was a big challenge to try to integrate those results into some form that we could analyze. So, you know, use of other updated survey tools, like a SurveyMonkey effort on this call, you know, that, you know, so we could probably use it, could be done using that. Okay. All right. I know we've gone past 16 minutes past the hour, so any other business? Once, going twice, going thrice. Okay, I'd like to thank everybody for this call. I'm not sure if there will be another call before the end of the year. So, in case we don't, I'd like to wish everyone best wishes for the holiday season and Merry Christmas, and the best for the new year. And let's continue to work online on the list and on the wiki. Okay, so thank you all very much. This call is now adjourned.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.